You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Are you looking for a place to encounter God, cultivate purpose, experience family, and make a difference? At Living Word Church, we do life with God and one another. We are an intergenerational, multicultural church. Through the power of the Living Word, we unite to uplift and serve our community. Our heart's desire is to make a lasting impact for the next generation. Experience transformation of your heart and mind through infectious praise and worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Living Word Church. We are located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Welcome to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastors Errol and Emily Beckford and Diana Robinson from Living Word Church in Cocoa. Tune in daily, Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. on WMIE. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in it.
We're so glad to continue this teaching this morning, a mother's faith that shapes generations. So this is not for mothers only, but these are points from the Mother's Day message that Pastor Beckford taught at at Living Word Church on Mother's Day. So we are glad to be able to bring these points at this time, even though it's past Mother's Day. It's closing the end of the school year, and it's a time, the summertime is a time where the family is together even more than ever. And it's a time for us to strengthen and come into remembrance the importance of our role together, that God made family. He made family. The Bible says that he even sets the solitary in families. When your mother or your father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. And he sets the solitary in families. So God's design is for us to be together in community in the framework of family. May not be biological family, but he has family assigned for each and every person. He doesn't desire people to be in isolation. When people are in isolation, it gives opportunity for the enemy to strike. But when people are together collectively, there is power in gathering. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering. Do not forsake assembling with other believers, because there is power. There is encouragement. There is edification in the gathering of like-minded people. So there's somebody for you. There's community for everybody. We just have to make sure that we're not the ones that are hiding, that we're available and present to be and connect with those who God has assigned for us.
Yeah, amen. And so Hannah prayed for a baby. And so if the God gave her Samuel, Hannah followed through on her vow and dedicated him back to the Lord. So she kept her promise to God. You know, she really wanted a child so badly, and he gave her one. So she sacrificed, and she kept her promise, and she gave him back to the Lord. And that must have cost her emotionally very, very much, but she understood something profound. Children ultimately belong to God before they belong to us. And Samuel became one of Israel's greatest prophets and leaders. Hannah's private prayer shaped public history.
And she went on then, her and her husband went on to have many other children after she surrendered Samuel into the service of the Lord. She wasn't left alone. You know, prior to conceiving, she was called barren. She was considered a woman who was barren, who was a reproach because she didn't have children. And she had prayed, and she had bitterness of heart, as she identifies in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She had bitterness of heart. She had a lot of complaint that she had to purge out of her until she came into the realization of the purpose of having a child. Wasn't just because the other wives had kids and she wanted to have some kids. She had to purge the complaint. She had to purge the bitterness, and she had to see the purpose. She had to see with clarity the purpose for the child that God was giving on to her. And when she made that vow, when she said, okay, you bless me with a child, I'm going to give him back over to you into the service of God, and she fulfilled her vow, then she was blessed with many more children.
Amen. Amen. And so sometimes God changes the soul and he changes the circumstances, you know. You have to understand something. Back in that time, women were judged by how their children were. And they were judged by being fertile. So her not being able to have a child, that was a big, big deal in that time. So she prayed fervently and she was even willing to give him back to the Lord just so she can have a baby. So she sacrificed. Imagine carrying a child for 9 months and then knowing that you're not going to have this child. Yet she did it anyway, and then God continued to bless her. He gave her many, many more children thereafter.
So faith is big, because here we see the faith in Anna. You have to be a woman of faith. And she exercised faith. Being barren and going to God, believing that God will lift that barrenness, break the curse of being barren, has to come through nothing but prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. It cannot be anything else. The prayer of faith. He who comes to God must first believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, says, he who comes to God must first believe. Here we can see the manifestation of that verse, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But the entire verse, you know, I like to jump around in the verse. But it first says, whoever comes to God must first believe, must first have a sure foundation of faith here. Can't come to God without that. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11. So here we see the foundation of faith. The foundation of faith Hannah has that drives her to pray. She believed that God could open her womb and give her a child. And on that she says, you do that, I'll give that child back to you. Mm-hmm. How about that? Mm-hmm. How about that faith? So she comes into God, she says, Lord God, I'm asking you to do this because I know you can. And I'm making a promise. I'm making a vow. I'm going to use the word promise. Yeah, it's a vow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a vow. You do it for me, I make sure I give that boy back to you. Hallelujah.
In 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 26, when she presents Samuel to Eli, she says, oh, my Lord, and not Lord God, but she's talking to Eli,
right,
a lowercase L, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. So if she had to reintroduce herself, that means Eli didn't recognize her right away. So she is the one that continued in faith. You know, sometimes we want other people to continue in faith. She continued in faith. Eli said what he had to say and probably didn't think about it no more. She is the one that had to pick up the word spoken to her by Eli from the Lord. She had to pick up the word and she had to walk in that faith until it came to this point. She had to fulfill the vow. So many times we're waiting for other people want to operate from somebody else's faith.
Yeah.
But that wasn't so. She had to receive the word and she had continue to operate in faith so that the word would not fail. You know, the word doesn't fail, but sometimes we fumble it and then we cause it not to come to pass. So she had to be the one to carry the word. And then she reminds Eli in verse 27, for this child I prayed. And the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. So in verse 27, it's capital L. She's telling Eli that it was the Lord God who granted the petition of which she asked for him. And then verse 28, she says, therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. So she fulfilled her vow.
And let's look at how, and have a deep understanding of faith, because it's right here. Mm-hmm. In Hebrews chapter 11, Anna exercised what the Bible, how the Bible teach about faith. Faith is not gambling or wishing upon a star. Faith is built on solid foundation. Now, notice what Hebrews chapter 11, guys, says. Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must first believe, must exercise the spirit of faith, must first believe, have a foundation of faith, that he is, he exists, and not only that he exists, but he's a rewarder to grant your petition if you are diligently seeking. Mm-hmm. That's what Anna did. Anna exercised that verse. And now when Anna stands back to Eli, Anna goes back now to tell Eli in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, if you look there. Now, she was talking to Eli. He says, I am that woman. Because she's exercising another teaching in the word, which is found in 1 John chapter 5. And when you look at verse 14, mm-hmm. read that for me, please.
Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Yeah. And if we know, look at 15.
If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him.
Ooh. So then you look back now, mm-hmm. Diane, you mm-hmm. just read that. Mm-hmm. When you look back, he's talking to Eli. He said, that petition, mm-hmm. I'm that woman who stands in prayer, and God has heard me mm-hmm. based upon what he says, mm-hmm. and grant me my what?
Petition.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Take it from there. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
So what does Hannah's story say to us? It says God hears unseen women.
Yes.
And tears are not weakness, and prayer changes generations. Faithfulness in privacy matters, and a woman can carry deep pain and deep faith at the same time. And the most important thing, the women who shape history are often ones quietly pouring out their souls to God when nobody else notices.
So going over the points, just to keep reviewing them, and make them a declaration, by being a praying mother, I can shape a generation. So declare that. By being a praying father, I can shape a generation. By being a praying grandparent, I can shape a generation. And the next one, a faithful mother can strengthen a family. So that could be a declaration. My faithfulness strengthens my family, my faithfulness to God. Make your day count.
Thank you for being a part of the Make Your Day Count family. Join us at Living Word Church, where we do life together. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Make your day count. Are you looking for a place to encounter God, cultivate purpose, experience family, and make a difference? At Living Word Church, we do life with God and one another. We are an intergenerational, multicultural church. Through the power of the living word, we unite to uplift and serve our community. Our heart's desire is to make a lasting impact for the next generation. Experience transformation of your heart and mind through infectious praise and worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Living Word Church. We are located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.